Well, good morning to all of you. I got to tell you, it's awfully nice to see that you're alive. Is there anyone here who doesn't know whether or not they're alive? Some of you don't even know if you're awake. I get that. Yes. Both. Richard, go and give him a kick in the shins to at least let him know he's alive, will you? That's good. Thanks. I feel so much better for you now, Phil. Suzanne, welcome. We're glad to have you here today. And Elaine, welcome to your second Sunday at this church. And we hope it's many more for you. Good. And Monica, she finally got across the road. Monica, awfully good to see you.
By virtue of 4 wheels.
By virtue of 4 wheels, yes. Margaret was coming in the parking lot, missed the turn, ended up next door, and there was Monica. She picked her up and brought her in. So, Margaret, thanks for missing and all you've done. And by the way, I was just talking to Margaret this morning. We prayed for Barry. Remember last Sunday he'd had the strokes, almost went off the road into the. So that is marvelous that he's alive. So we'll just pray now the Lord continues to keep working on him. Anyway, thank you, Margaret. Okay, let's quickly take some announcements and update you on a couple of things as we head into this week in October. Again, reminder, Monday for 2 o'clock here for prayer, Saturday nights for 2 o'clock, or for 7 o'clock for prayer here, and then we've got the ladies meet at 10 on Wednesday, and I hear you're having a marvelous time, girls. Fantastic. And then Thursday night we meet here at 7 for Bible study. I was talking to Kathy, and many of you know her husband, Rick. Rick was an ardent supporter of our Thursday night study, so I was just saying to her today, I said, let's get Rick on Zoom and at least have his face looking at us while we get together. So, you know what? If we need to be creative for folks, let us know. If there's things we can do to help, we'll do it. We'll make it work. So, anyway, that's exciting. I think we've got the Unity service. Yes, we'll keep this in mind. All the churches are going to be meeting at New Life on Sunday, November the 7th. And we're going to have another we haven't been able to have any Unity service for over 2 years. So we're really quite excited at the Georgian Triangle Ministers that we're able to put this on again. So you can register or you can watch a live stream. So we're quite excited. So put that in your calendar, okay? Want to give you the birthdays, and we've got a number of folks with birthdays this week. Noah, how old are you? You're 27? 61? You're this old? Congratulations, buddy. Happy birthday for you on Monday. Monique, please wish John a happy birthday for Monday as well. I think he's a little older than six. Is that correct? There's a six in there. Put the six anywhere you want. And then Mono has a birthday on Tuesday. And Nora, how old are you going to be? Are you going to be six? Are you going to be three? Three? Well, a happy birthday to you too, sweetie. That's exciting. So Christina and Tonga will be hosting birthday parties through the whole week. Tonga's on reading week, so he'll be able to help blow out all the candles. So congratulations, Mom and Dad. That's an exciting week for you. Anniversaries. This young couple at the front, I believe your names are McNabs. Happy anniversary. How many years has it been now, girl? It's been 7 years. 7 years since you marched in here, smiling from ear to ear. Ah, may you have 70 more. You are smiling, girl. You are smiling. Don, he said you were crying. Is that true? I don't think so. Anyway, a very happy anniversary to both of you. And also the Hollies have an anniversary on the 26th. Now, did we miss anybody? Okay. All right, let's... Samaritan's Purse, we're again going to be collecting this year for Christmas. And if you've never been involved in that, Samaritan's Purse, where you fill the shoe box with things for children all over the world, and then they fly them all over the place. And so The collection will be over these next few weeks, so we're going to be getting the boxes, and then, yes, and we'll have them this week, and Carl will just have them here at the back, so you can either come in through the week and take as many boxes as you'd like, and then, of course, there's a little certificate to fill in if it's a boy or a girl, what the age, and if you want to put a little check in to cover some of those costs, and then toward the end of November, I believe our collection point is going to be at Faith Missionary, and then I believe it goes to Kitchener. And then it's shipped out on the planes from Kitchener. So again, we want to really impact. And don't forget that in the shoe boxes, every single one of them contains a story about Jesus. And we've actually got teams all over the world that when these children accept Christ, they work with them to disciple them. So it's a fantastic plan, not only giving people little gifts, maybe many, many for the first time. So you know what to do in that, many of you. If not, we'll certainly, Carl, he'll answer any questions for you. Okay, anything else we need to update on for the family? We good? Okay, let's open with prayer. Father, just want to say thank you for an opportunity to be together. And Lord, you have much to give us today and much to show us, much to allow us to sing and just rejoice in another week of life. And Father, we also know that you're going to equip us and prepare us for this new week because you're going to take us in places and have us meet people and be in situations that we don't even know about. And yet you always go before us. And so, Lord, we're here to simply relax in you, to thank you for another week of life, and then to simply be able to praise your name, study your word, and obviously leave this place with more faith than when we walked through the door. So bless each and every one, and those who are not able to be here today, Lord, those that are not well, would you continue to be very near to them as well. Thank you, in Christ's name, amen. 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 Bless the Lord. Thank you, Tonka. Why don't we just keep on singing? In my Father's house, there's a place for me, and you, and you, and you, and you. Is there anybody excluded? Not at all. Ah, it's fantastic. Don't you feel better? Aren't you glad you came this morning? Yeah. Even if you forgot to eat your Wheaties? That's about what the power of the Lord is. Okay, let's take some notes of praise this morning. What has the Lord been doing? And we're going to put Barry down, your son, for prayer today, because that's under a notes of praise. So what else do we have for praise this morning? Who wants to go first? Literally, the Lord just lowered the heart. Heartbeat. I think that's super. Anybody else needs a heartbeat lowered? I'm not trying to make fun of it, but isn't it interesting how much even with life, have you noticed stress builds? You can feel your heart racing, or you can feel, you're going to have palpitations or whatever. Who's the one who calms us down? The Lord. At the end of the day. Isn't that what we talked about last? Be still and know I'm God. Have you calmed and quieted your soul this week? Have you practiced that from last Sunday? Because at the end of the day, if the Lord's not looking after us, we're really out flying sideways in the wind. I think it's fantastic. Tell your mom we're praying. Continue to pray for her. Yeah, there's a few times I think there's people in our homes we'd like to be able to just put our hands up and just say, be calm, be at peace. Yeah. Would you like that, Phil? You'd like right there. Peace right there in the brain. Yeah, absolutely. Well, sometimes expediency is the real answer to prayer. Lord, thank you for doing what you're doing, because how many times we'd lie in bed and fret and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. Now, Rhoda, let's get an update on your hubby with Rob. Was this the leg that has the prosthesis on it, or was this the foot, the other leg? Yeah, okay. Yeah, because of the diabetes, it was suspect. I think that's fantastic. Thank you for sharing. Okay, other notes of praise. Olivia, so tell them, Olivia, a little bit, even about your hand and even your head. You said you could even lift your chin more. Absolutely. That's fantastic. Ken, if her hand keeps going up, she'll be able to reach the cookies on the cupboard door, by the cupboard door that you made there. She can... Oh, Olivia, we're thrilled. We are so thrilled for you. Joyce? Grandma? Grandma? Yeah, right. Yeah, that's cool. So she takes after your side of the family. Yeah, that's good.
Oh, he's not a sleeping baby.
Well, how many grandchildren do you have now? Two. This is two. And he's how old? He's 20 months. So Friday, you're down to see. Okay, super. We'll pray. It's a great day to travel on the roads. All right, other notes of praise. Suzanne. Yes, and Jim, I want to thank you for keeping us updated with the sisters. They're in Nigeria, and it's one of those areas where Boko Haram, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. And I think at one point in the compound, if I'm not mistaken, they had 3,000 people in the compound for security reasons, because they're just... It was so volatile. So yeah, right. I think we would continue to pray, and they're not young women. They're beyond middle age, and it's got to be a lot of stress dealing with, you know, all the uncertainty of what's going to happen. You know, you and I go to bed, and we don't think anybody's going to shoot up the neighborhood. We just, you know, relax. But that's a tough thing they're in. So thank you, Suzanne, for that. Anybody else? Okay, for prayer, Donna. Yes, can we get an update on him?
Yeah.
Okay, so again, and you know, our hearts are one of the things we do take for granted. Do you ever think about how often it's beating or how well it's beating? Or no, we don't, do we? So we'll pray for Dave. Yeah, any other things for prayer? Absolutely, we will pray for Jacques. Anything else? Unspoken? Okay, let's go to prayer. Father, we just again want to acknowledge that you're an amazing God. You work in ways, some things we see, other things we don't see. But the mere fact that you run a universe should again remind us that you're quite capable of looking after every one of us completely. Whether it's an issue with something on our skin, or whether it's an issue with our heart, whether it's an issue with our foot, whether it's an issue with people, whether it's an issue with finances, whether it's an issue with family, whether it's an issue of spiritual dimensions. Lord, one thing I hope that we're all grasping is that you are really trying to draw closer to us and us to you. You are trying to show us as our Heavenly Father that you love us and that you care for us, and that you've got plans and purposes for us. And in that, Lord, that we can be witnesses and ambassadors for you. Father, we thank you for what you've done for Grace. And we thank you for Sue's friend and for what you've done for Marg in May and all these issues of their lives. And sometimes we despair. And last week, Marg was very concerned about her son. And yet, we look and see in this week what you've been doing there. And for Rob, and for Olivia, and even in the birth of grandchildren or children, you are in charge of life and death. And you watch over us in ways that we can't even understand, because you know us better than we know ourselves. And so, Lord, today we just want to acknowledge the things that we have done and said and thought that were not of you. We do apologize. We ask for your forgiveness again. We ask that you would give us discernment and wisdom and protection and insights and whatever is necessary to be ambassadors for you in this upcoming week. Because, Lord, it's not easy living this life. Often as Christians, we don't meet very often. We're working through our days alone, and we need to really sense your presence with us. And, Father, I pray that for those that need a special touch. May the Pridham girls sense your presence, even in Nigeria. Kathy Gooch is our missionary in South Africa, and she has been sick from the second vaccination. Lord, would you continue to bring healing to her? We pray for Richard and Suzanne as they deal with all the issues of the ongoing needs of their home, and for Judy and Carl. Lord, we pray for Dave today, another heart episode, and Father, would you give him peace, because I'm sure his mind is racing, wondering what next. And for Monique with her brother Jacques, she has probably seen things over these years that not only have troubled her but saddened her as she's watched her brother struggle and trying to deal with life. And so, Father, you know the deep needs of our hearts and minds, the unspoken requests of today. Lord, we believe that you're the only one who can help us. And so we appeal to you. You're the great physician. You're our Heavenly Father. You're the one who is working in people's lives through your Son, drawing them to yourself. We thank you for the comfort and sustaining power of the Holy Spirit. and all that is part and parcel of what it means to be looked after and loved by a triune God. And so, Father, just as I prepare to preach and as we sing another song of worship to you, Lord, we trust in all that we're doing this day, that you are honored, that you are reverenced, and most of all, we just want to tell you that we love you very, very much. Thank you, Father. In your powerful name we pray. Amen.
He said, you have remembered our sins no more, as far as the east is from the west, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, God. Lord, even as we hear your word this morning, Lord, would you open our ears to see and understand the depth of the meaning of your word. Be with Pastor John as you come up and preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling pretty blessed. I'm sure glad I made it here today. Tonga, thank you. That was a beautiful song. Oh, yeah. You know, I love the old songs, but it's every now and then it's good to sing a new one. We are but a wisp of vapor. Has anybody told you that lately? You're but a wisp of vapor. Now, if you take it one way, you might think it's derogatory. You know, I had a fella at the food bank the other day. He was being a real toenail. That's my Christian word for him. And so he was getting pretty obnoxious. So at one point I said, you know what, you're just being a banana. Well, he looked at me like he wasn't sure how to take it. And I said, the one compliment I want to give you right now is you're not yellow. He walked to the back. He wouldn't talk to me. So are you nothing but a wisp of vapor? The answer is yes, we are. And I want to start by James 4. And here's what we read in James 4. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will what? What have you had? We will do this or do that. If what? If the Lord wills. I don't know about you, but my life is never boring. Tuesday was the perfect day. Do you remember Tuesday? That's going back a few days. I know some of you retired folks, you don't even know what day it is today. But Tuesday was it's about 19, 20 degrees, sunshine, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was absolutely gorgeous, and I got up that morning, and my day was organized. First thing I was going to do is have breakfast. Now, a man's got to have breakfast. If you don't have breakfast, you're running on fumes. So I made my breakfast, and the next step was I was going to the food bank. And I knew I was going to be there for about 3 hours. So I went to the food bank, and it was a glorious day. People were outside. There was no wind. We had lovely chats. Now, the first couple of weeks of October, we've absolutely been inundated. Phil's been inundated Thursday night, and I was inundated on the Tuesdays. We had about 16 families that day, so they were well spaced out. We were able to serve them well, had excellent conversations. And the plan was, I was going to leave early because I had to go to a doctor's appointment in Craighurst. Now, for those of you that know this, you're going to know what I'm talking about when I say pain. So I have gout. I have a genetic dispensation for gout. And so for the last 15 years, I've had bouts of gout. And now I'm on medication, which lowers my uric acid levels so that I don't get gout. So the only problem is my uric acid levels are normal and I still get gout. So if any of you understand what it's like to want to amputate your foot or something, you'll understand the pain. I understand it's equivalent to childbirth. My wife and I don't quite agree on that one, but that's a moot point. So I've been seeing a specialist, and he has recently moved up to Craighurst, new offices, and he wanted to see what I was doing and play with the drugs and see what we could do so that every time I went off another drug, I wouldn't get about a gout. Get there, he's prompt. He's on time.
Really?
I'm supposed to get, yeah, that's a miracle. Supposed to be there for 1:15. I get in at 1:04. At 1:15, he's talking to me. At 1:30, we're wrapped up. See you in 3 months. Go to the front, get another date. We'll follow up with you. I go to the front, I get a date. I come out to the car. Oh, by the way, I said, Jane, how would you like to go for a drive with me to Krager's? It's such a lovely day. To which she said, yes, be happy to. Leave your car at the church and I'll pick you up. She drove. That's fine. Gives me a chance to look around. And so it was a lovely ride. We drove into Krager's, and now we're driving down 93. Honey, let's go into Barry. I got a couple errands I want to do. So we start going down 93. I phone, you know what? I don't think I like this date for time in 3 months. I think I'll phone and change it. Phone couldn't get through, so we made a U-turn, went back to the doctor's office, walked into the front desk. The lady says, sure, we'll change the date for you. And we made it 3 weeks later. We walked out, and we said, you know what? I think we ought to go down the 400. That's a good idea. Let's go over through Craighurst now instead of going south. We'll go through Craighurst and we'll take the Cloverleaf and we'll go down 400 and we'll go down to Barrie. The time is 1:45. We come through Craighurst, past the food land, past the subdivision, behind a motorcycle. We're coming over the hill. We cross over the highway. We're all set to make the curve onto the Cloverleaf, and a guy makes a left turn and comes zipping across in front of us. So Jane slows right down. We're watching because we can see another car is about to turn to come onto the highway. We had the yield sign. No sooner had we looked than the lady started to pull out right in front of the motorcycle. What an accident. Before Jane even could stop the car, I was out and running to the scene. I was maybe 50 yards. Couldn't quite see the motorcycle because he'd slid off behind the car. The car then moved forward and stopped on the median. And there I could see the motorcycle. I couldn't see the man. When I got within about 10 feet of the bike, I realized he was lying in front of the front wheel, face plant in the asphalt. He wasn't moving. My heart was racing. I got up to the body. His foot was all distorted. Do you know the impact was so hard, it literally took the heel off his boot, separated the heel from the boot. It was in a very grotesque angle. As I leaned down and looked in his face, there was blood all over his face. I said, buddy, I'm here. All of a sudden, he made a noise. He groaned. The next thing I was expecting was the screams, because when you break bones and you shatter things, terrible agony. He groaned again. He turned his head. His face and helmet were in the asphalt, and he turned it like this so I could barely see the side of his face where all the blood, I could see the blood all over his mouth, and I was concerned, but I realized it wasn't a steady blood flow, so it looked like he had cut his tongue, he'd bitten his tongue. He groaned again. And then he said, what happened? I realized this was an older gentleman. What happened? I said to him quietly, you were driving along and the car turned in front of you and you hit the car. So I had my hand on his shoulder. I was cognizant of the fact that he looked like he was in some kind of pain, and then he started to writhe. Now, I'm not telling you all these just to give you a graphic detail. I want you to get the scenario of what I saw. As I continued to help him and he wanted to move his arm, this man was dressed for motorcycling. He had the jacket, he had the pants, he had the boots, he had the gloves, he had the helmet, he had everything right. And yet here he was, it looked like he was dying or near death. Well, within a couple of minutes, I sensed a presence on my left shoulder, and a lady said to me, I'm a nurse. I said, great. So the next thing is he began to writhe, and I was trying to keep him, just stay down, buddy, stay down. The ambulance is coming. We've called everybody, because when I jumped out of the car, the first thing I yelled at Jane was, call 911. And so Jane got on that right away. We gradually were able to get his helmet off, which was a good sign. No neck injury. He wanted then his jacket to be undone. We were able to undo that a little bit. We took his gloves off. His watch was scattered. His glasses were thrown down the road. Later when the paramedics came and the fire team came and they took out his cell phone was absolutely shattered. It was in 1,000 pieces within a case. The impact on that man's body was horrific. Well, we heard the sirens. And traffic was stopped in 4 different directions. The ones going down, the ones coming through, the ones turning left, and the ones coming east. Everywhere was parked cars. There was gas leaking out of his tank of his bike, and it was leaking under his feet. I was afraid his could catch fire. I asked 2 of the guys, can you move his bike back a little bit? And then we looked over. Jane ran over to the fellow over here to the left. He was sitting there 10 feet from the body watching everything, smoking a cigarette. So he managed, she got him to put that out. The nurse got somebody to put something under his head, and we got him to move, and he had some issues with his shoulder, but he lay there on the ground, and he kept saying, what happened? What happened? You could hear the sirens. Ambulance arrived, fire trucks arrived, fire captain arrived, various emergency vehicles. Then we were waiting still for the police. Paramedics came over. They asked what was going on, explained what happened. I stepped back. The nurse had left, began to cut open his clothes to get to his leg. The good news was the distortion that I saw, I thought his leg was shattered, was actually his boot had come off his foot. And so that was marvelous to know that it didn't have complete shattering of the bone. The police arrived. Officer came up to us and said, can you tell me if you're a witness? I said, yes, we can. Would you please stay? And of course, paramedics took over. The ambulance arrived. And we had teams of people working on him. He was coherent. He was talking. I put him in his early 70s. He was driving a bike that he probably had for years. As we had traveled out of Craighurst behind him, he was going below the speed limit. The thing that blew me away was when he hit the car, he didn't go flying over the front of the car. He slid down the side of the car, and you could see the skid marks of his bike and his body on the highway. So we stood there, and we waited. And the only thing I could think about was, I thought he was dead. The lady who had caused the accident was standing nearby us, and she was going into shock. And I went over to her and I said, ma'am, it was an accident. And we talked, and I said to her, you're going to be all right. The gentleman's going to be all right. Just let everybody help you. I didn't see him. I didn't see him. I didn't see him. And in part, I believe her. She was making a left turn on the highway. It was a slope up over the bridge. She probably looked up over the bridge to see if there was a car coming over. The motorcycle was down below her gaze, 10 feet from her when she started to pull out. Smash. Police officer interviewed everybody, and then he said to Jane and I, would you mind if I ask you last for your statement? Let me get everything else organized. You know, the fire crews were mopping up the gasoline. At least that had stopped. They got the gentleman loaded into the ambulance. He left, and of course, then we waited, and gradually they opened the highways in different directions, and there were semi-trucks and everything. The oncoming cars coming off was a lead truck, and apparently he had everything on video, saw the whole accident as he'd come up, saw it happen. So we're standing there. And people were upset that they had to wait. People were cross that they'd gotten diverted. And the police came over to us and asked for a statement. Finished up the statement with them. And he said, thank you very much for your cooperation. We'd been standing there probably at the side of the road for well over an hour. So we had to go straight onto the highway. We didn't feel like, of course, going to Barrie, so we drove home. Police officer phoned at 8:30 that night. He said, "Mr. Hamlin," he said, I want to give you an update. He said, "First of all, I want to tell you that the truck recorded all your actions. We saw what you did. I also want to tell you that we thought his leg was shattered. They were prepared to airlift him down to Toronto, and they've determined, no, it's only a break, and he is going to recover, and he's doing really well. Thank you for all you've done." I have never been in the idea of being a good Samaritan like that. But the thing that hit me, and I've had flashbacks all this week, is running over to what I thought was a dead body, and the man was breathing. My point to you this morning in all of this is, a beautiful day, a man says to his wife, "Honey, I'm just going to go for a little bike ride." He suits up. He's ready to go. He is paying attention. He is observing all the traffic signals, signs, rules of the road. In an instant, he could have been dead. Just gone like that. I don't think I will ever forget the sound. And if you've ever been in car accidents, one of the most horrific parts of being in accidents is the sound. And to realize that it wasn't two cars hitting, it was a bike and a body hitting a vehicle. And all this week, I've seen life in a totally different manner today. I mean, I've enjoyed my life, and I enjoy what I'm doing, and you would agree with your life, and we take it for granted. We get in the car, and we go to the store, and our life is but a vapor, a wisp of a vapor. I don't know where this man stands with the Lord. I didn't talk with him about all of this, but the reality was the Lord said to me, "John, what about your life? Where are you in your life if you instantly stepped into heaven? Do you realize how precious your life is?" And I think these are the things I just want to bounce off you very quickly today, and you'll see it, and I believe we have a couple of the points up on the overhead, and I want to bring this to your attention. How many times do we say, "Today I will do such and such. I'll go to Collingwood. I'm going to go to M&M's, and then after that, maybe I'll go for a little walk on the boardwalk, and then, you know, when I get home, I'm going to phone a friend, and then maybe in the evening, I'll go and walk the dog, and or tomorrow I'm going to go down to visit my grandbaby." Now, in and of itself, is there anything wrong in saying those things? No. What the Lord is trying to say to you and I is, even every single heartbeat is in his hands. Every breath that we breathe is in his hands. Ever since I nearly died from my lung rupturing my artery and nearly bleeding to death, I can't tell you how much in a day I go, "Thank you, Lord, for being able to take a breath." You're going to have a fresh appreciation for things because of what the Lord has protected you from. But we could have been gone like that. Don's probably got stories of farm equipment that he should have been killed in the course of his life. Many of us could say there were times on the highway we should have died. How we didn't spin out and how we weren't killed. How about falling and tripping and flipping? And heard the story not too long ago of one of the gentleman here in this area. He's a farmer. And he was teaching his grandson to drive the tractor. Grandson's about 14. He was standing on top of the hay bale. And he said, "Okay, now just slowly put it into first gear." The young man popped the clutch. The grandpa fell off the back, dead within 24 hours. Concussion, bleed, brain bleed. You know, we take for granted, "Tomorrow I'll do this. Today I'm going to do this." And what I think we need to remind ourselves is there's nothing permanent in our life. So in some ways, you and I need to appreciate every opportunity we have with each other. Every phone call should matter. Every visit should matter. Every conversation should matter. everything we do, we should be saying, Lord, thank you for allowing me to do that. Thank you for protecting me driving the highways. Whatever it is, Lord, today I'm going to go out and do this. I just would like you to go before me. If you don't want me to do that, would you please stop me? 1 Peter 1 says this, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of a grass. The grass withers, and the flower what? Fails. Psalm 103, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, and the wind passes over it and is gone, and the place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to what? Children's children. On the one hand, I don't think we'd be afraid. I don't think we lie in bed and we think, okay, now today I get up, I hope I don't slip on a bathroom floor. Oh, today I hope a toilet paper roll doesn't hit me in the side of the head. I mean, some people can be incredibly paranoid. They don't even want to move. But what does the scripture say? In the Lord we move and have our being. And so we head into each day with confidence, what? The Lord is with us, the Lord goes before us, the Lord walks beside us, the Lord is in us, and the Lord's our rear guard. But we also are cognizant of the fact that today we could step off the earth. So like I said, I don't know where this gentleman stands. I don't know what his issues are and what he's dealing with. But I think this is important for you and I to see. There's nothing random in our life. Now, let me also add another point here as I conclude on this story. Jane and I stood on the guardrail 5 feet from the motorcycle. The man had been transported to the hospital. The police had asked us to wait, as I said, and so we're standing there. Over that half-hour wait, how many cars do you think went by us? Couple hundred? Couple. And Jane said to me as we were driving home, she said, isn't it interesting how a rumor could start? I said, what do you mean? She said, somebody could have seen us standing there by that motorcycle and said, you know what, I saw Pastor John and Jane standing beside a motorcycle. I think they hit a motorcycle. She said, they could go back to Wasega Beach, they could tell the story, and Pastor John and Jane, they hit a motorcycle. Now, the first thing I say is, I wasn't driving. But that doesn't solve the problem, does it? The reality is, how do you undo if somebody decides to tell a story? Instead of phoning and saying, Jane, John, we saw you at an accident scene with a motorcycle. Could you tell us what happened? We'd be glad to. So as Jane drove along, I said to her, good point, dear. Good point. How many times do we see things and go, oh, I know what's happened? I instead of saying, I don't know what happened. What happened? So this week, I'd like you to appreciate what the Lord's given you. If he gives you this week, thank him. If we're back together again next week, praise the Lord. Don't simply tell him this week what you're going to do. Don't tell him that you're going to do such and such tomorrow. Ask him and say, Lord, would you guide me? And if you don't want me to, then would you please block me? We had a lady in our church in Etobicoke one day, and she got up to give a praise note. She said, I got in my car, I backed out of my driveway, and I was heading for Highway 427. She's 5 minutes from the highway. I got to the top of my street. I went to turn right, and the right rear tire of my car fell off on the road. She said, I went back to look at the car, and I realized that all the bolts were gone. Now, she concluded that somebody had monkeyed with her car, because all the bolts aren't disappearing. But she stood up in church and she said, I think it's amazing how God had the car tire fall off at the end of my street rather than on 427. And sometimes we need to thank the Lord in the midst of things, because who knows what we were protected from or saved from, or what could have been a worse scenario. And so I want to leave these scriptures with you as we conclude today. The reality is, who's looking after us? Jesus. Who's looking after us even when we're sleeping? Jesus. And so we know from Hebrews 10, by a single offering, Jesus has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Is Jesus looking after you when you drive your car? Yes. Is he with you when you're cooking at the stove? How many times has grease splattered in your face, splattered in mine? It could have blinded me. How many times has Jesus helped you when you're out doing something in the yard and a splinter has come off, or the lawnmower has tipped over or something? Who's in all of this? The one who what? Died for you and I. And so here's what I want to leave with you. Verse 21 of Hebrews 10. Since we have a great priest over the house of God, Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And therefore, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. If we're but a whisper and a vapor, then let's do what we can and love one another moving forward today and this week. And by the way, I'm so glad to see all of you, because I could have been dead this week. And this could have been a funeral service. Let's pray. Father, all of us are but a moment away from eternity. And that should not give us fear, but that should give us a sober reminder that yes, you've given us another day of life. Yes, our days are hidden with you. And yes, the days of our life are, even as you've counted the hairs on our head, you know every one of them. But the reality is, Lord, even in timing situations, you're asking us to be aware. Father, Jane and I were not supposed to be going around that clover leaf at that time. But you allowed us that experience to remind both of us that life can flit by incredibly quickly. Father, I pray for that man today. I don't know who he is. But I pray, Lord, if he doesn't know you, that he'll find you. I also pray for the driver of the car who was in such agony in a mental state, Lord, that your peace would be upon her and save her soul as well. And Lord, you'd remind us all as we head into this week that we do our best to love one another, that we stir up and encourage each other, because, Lord, life is fleeting, and we don't want to miss any moments. Father, if any of us are feeling cocky about what we're going to do today or do tomorrow, would you remind us that we need to remember that you're in charge of our lives, not us. And so, Lord, we are grateful for all the ways you protect us and guide us and lead us and help us. And so, Father, give us a clear scenario this week, not only of our eternal home, but the fact that people need you, because we step off this earth so incredibly quickly. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Tonga. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And all God's people said, Amen.